Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister.
Oh, not low energy Brian Schulmeister. Welcome back, Brian.
Well, I mean, that's a bit much, but I did wake up exceptionally early this morning. It's a busy day over here, so I got up at like 5:30, made myself a pot of coffee. Well, you and I run very different schedules. My 5:30 is the equivalent of you waking up at like 1 in the morning.
Okay.
So, yeah, got up super early, made a cup of coffee, got out the door and did a bike ride and came back before anybody else in the house had woken up. So I had some time alone. I've had some exercise. I am feeling a bit more normal than I normally am when I roll straight from bed to the recording platform here.
You should try this every day.
We'll see how I feel later on. I do like my alone time at night. I prefer my alone time with a glass of wine than a bike.
Yeah, man, it's unprecedented times.
That's true.
You got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah. Speaking of unprecedented times, a little bit of follow-up here. We've got some bad news. Not unexpected bad news, but bad news nevertheless. Scientists say tests have showed a man returning from Spain in August had a different strain of the coronavirus than the one he'd previously been infected with in March. So, yeah, you can get it twice.
The gift that keeps on giving.
We kind of knew this was true, but this is the first somewhat proven case. I say somewhat proven because it was the University of Hong Kong. So people are going to say, those damn Chinese, but it was the University of Hong Kong people. It's okay. These people know what they're doing.
It's not really China.
Yeah. So this is pretty straightforward. And some people are saying this is actually a good thing because the case so far, he had mild symptoms the first time, and his recent infection, he has had none. He just has it again, but no actual symptoms.
Super spreader.
This is just one case, so we don't know. But yes, that is the big problem, right? The big problem is you can get infected again and then infect people again. So masks, social distancing, all that sort of stuff is here to stay. Well, not that it's ever been here in the United States at all, but if we were doing things correctly, yes, this is going to be a long haul until there is a proven vaccine. Oh, and people actually take it. Another problem here in the U.S.
Yes. I was listening to, what the hell was it? Oh, I was actually listening to Sean Penn on Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert, because I like Sean Penn. I'm sorry. I do like him.
I like Spicoli.
He had a really good line in there that he was talking about anti-vaxxers, and he called it the religion of the selfish. And I thought that really summed it up.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, there is something that may make all of this moot. NASA has reported that an asteroid is headed towards Earth one day before the November election.
Yeah, come on. This is just fucking baiting.
It's a fridge-sized asteroid. It has a slim chance of entering the Earth's atmosphere on November 2nd, one day before the election, of course. It is 2018 VP1, and it's pretty tiny. It has a 0.41% likelihood of entering Earth's atmosphere, and it will probably burn up even if it does. But, I mean, come on. First off, the best part of this story may be the author's name, which is Blake Dodge. Can't beat that. And of course, everybody remembers the giant meteor 2020 election signs and shirts and merchandise that got very popular. So it's very funny.
It is funny. But even if it hits us, it ain't going to hit us.
Nah. So. Kind of wish it would at this point.
Well, I'd like my hour back trying to explain to my roommate how asteroids and meteors and all that shit work. He's like, why don't we just nuke it? I'm like, you don't watch TV, do you?
I should send my 4-year-old son over to explain it because he is like totally Rain Man about space right now. He could totally explain all that stuff.
I'd appreciate it. Please do.
And a good article over on Engadget that kind of brings us up to speed on the Uber and Lyft California drama about employees. And the article's really good. It recounts everything that's happened so far and basically says the truth is both Uber and Lyft had the time to fix this and figure out how to make it work if they had wanted to. Instead, they have chosen to fight it and put all their money towards legal things instead of actually giving it to the employees, and could have made everything work just fine.
I wonder who said that was going to happen. Oh, wait, it was us. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. No surprise there. No surprise there.
And it says at the end, as we've been saying all along, if their business model is entirely contingent upon not paying minimum wage, overtime, providing required meals and rest breaks, reimbursements for expenses, etc., it's predicated on wage theft and they can't turn a profit by treating their staff as employees, then that's their problem. It's on them to figure it out.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing it from the mountaintops, my brother.
Yep.
So we've been talking about Spotify and how we have one listener who turned out to be more than one, greater than one.
I think we've got a good baker's dozen right now.
Yeah. And people keep asking me why I use Overcast. And there's a feature in Overcast that I forgot to talk about when replying to these people. It's called Smart Speed. It's a thing that Marco Arment baked into Overcast. And it compresses the silence in between people talking like this. So if you listen to that on Overcast, it would sound like a coherent sentence. But since you didn't, probably, it's going to sound like me pausing for a long time. Well, Smart Speed is, like I said, baked into Overcast, and they have a stat on there that you can see how much time Smart Speed has saved you over the listening lifetime of your account. And for me, Smart Speed has saved me an extra 626 hours beyond speed adjustments alone. 626 hours is not an insignificant amount of my life.
You must listen
to
a lot
back.
Of podcasts where people don't speak properly.
Apparently. Yes, I do. So, and for the sake of science, I did a test over the weekend to try and make Spotify my de facto podcast playing app. Oh, just shoot me in the face with a duck. I don't know why I said a duck. I was thinking of the Mythbusters, I guess. But my God, what a horrible user experience.
And I don't even like Spotify for music, to be honest.
I don't enjoy
the way that I you have to make playlists and blah, 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 and half the time they don't work with a lady on the tube. It's kind of a wretched experience all around.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that since day one on this show. I'm just like, how do people use this thing? And here's the funny part, it's gotten much better since I started complaining about it, and it's still a dumpster fire. Yeah. I think they hired all the people from Hulu's UX design team to go work at Spotify because, my God, it's terrible.
Yeah, you know, the millennials and Gen Z, they just they enjoy hunting for features.
Oh, God, shoot
they,
me in
they
the
don't
face
want,
again.
They don't want an actual user interface that lets you do what you want to do.
Yeah, just look at Snap. That's all you need to know. Look at Snap. And yeah, it's a terrible user interface. And the thing about it that a lot of people have been talking to us about, they're like, oh, but don't you want to be on this great discovery platform where people are going to, you know, more people are going to see your show? Well, here's the thing about podcasts and podcast math. If you listen to us on a regular podcast player, our episodes are downloaded to your device so you can play them whenever you want. You don't need any extra bandwidth later on for streaming it. Well, Spotify is only streaming unless you click the download button for each individual episode. You cannot set it to download all of the episodes of a given show. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, that's bad news, because people tend to get behind and not think about it and maybe don't listen to like 10 or 20 shows in a row and then come back to us and go back. Yeah. Well, we don't get credit for those episodes, even though you are a loyal listener.
See, we need to be like streaming. That U2 album on the iPhone. We need to appear there for
exactly.
you so you can't get rid of us.
Right. See, that's why streaming and podcasts are bad for the actual content creators and great for the advertisers because, you know, they get to see more metrics about who actually listens to the show, how long they listen to the show, all that crap. And fuck those guys. I just want your money. Come on. So if people are downloading the episode, I couldn't give a rat fuck if you listen to it. I just want you to download it. And that's why Spotify is bad for us.
Personally, I don't care if you even listen or download it as long as you donate on Patreon.
Well, you can do that too. You can do that too. Oh, God. So, yeah, that's my Spotify wrap up. Okay. And now, this was just funny. Last night, before I went to bed, I noticed that cocaine was trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I made a tweet. I made a little tweet.
I saw that.
And I thought it was a funny tweet. It wasn't that funny. I mean, it was just, mildly
amusing.
I think
amusing. It was more factual than funny.
It was factual, and I mean, my last line was the funny line. You just count the blinks. But the deal is, I woke up this morning, and my Twitter had exploded. And I can't even go back to it right now because every time I go, I get there's another 100 notifications on it. So it got picked up by rawstory.com and listed in their links of in an article that says, was Donald Trump Jr. coked out of his mind during RNC speech? And this is where Betteridge has failed us, because the answer to this is abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
And completely and absolutely. He blinked a total of 4 times in his entire speech. And as someone who was an ex partaker of said cocaine, you can see it from a mile away. You can see it from a mile away.
There's no doubt. I've also experienced the wonder powder, and I've been around people who made it a bit of a lifestyle. There was absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was completely coked out of his mind during this entire speech. I saw a really funny tweet about it. It was like, Trump Senior smacks Trump Junior. I said white power.
Okay, that's way better than mine. Way better than mine.
Hilarious, right? I mean, so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't actually all happening, but, you know.
I know. So the point of this was, though, it's like, wow, now I see how the other half lives. The people who are actually, you know, popular on Twitter, it's like, you can't keep up with that shit. I think right now when we're recording, let's just pull it up real quick so I can see what the actual stats are. And the downside is I've only gotten 160 new followers out of this whole thing. But my tweet has 10,600 likes, 2,500 retweets, and 232 comments. Now, for me, that's like exceptional. Yeah. I've never had tweets like that.
Best numbers ever.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought it was funny. And a lot of people had never heard of Donald Trump Jr. referred to as Carrot Jr., I found out, because a lot of people really enjoyed that one. But so there you go. Yeah.
Well done,
Jason. I just clicked on that. It was funny because I've never experienced what it's like. Because, like, my friend Kevin Rose has 1 million followers, and you can't even talk to him it doesn't matter. Nobody with over, like, you know, 20 or 30,000 followers even looks at their comments or retweets.
You can't. It's like, you can't. It becomes useless as a discussion platform at that point.
Completely useless. Completely useless. And speaking of discussion, Brian, I wanted to have a quick discussion with you about technology.
Isn't that what we do for a couple hours twice a week?
It kind of is. And, you know, we shit on it. That's what we do. That's our job. Mm-hmm. Our raison d'etre is to shit on technology. Now, I'm going through and I'm thinking, man, it's just, I'm looking at the news this week. It's a shit show, like normal, but it was a boring shit show. You know, nothing really great was standing out this week. And I thought to myself, remember when you and I were coming up, you know, in the 90s and the 80s, even in some point, and we always looked forward to the new technology. We're like, what's coming around the corner? What's going to be cool? You know, what's the next cool thing coming around the corner? When was the last time you were excited about a piece of technology that you were actually looking forward to it?
The iPad.
Mm-hmm. You know how long ago the fucking iPad was?
Long time. Yep.
Long time ago. Now, what do you think of your iPad?
I love it. I use it daily.
Yes.
It's okay. Become part of my daily routine, my part of my everyday life. I thoroughly don't think I could live without it now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have 2 of them and I love them. But I think the Apple Watch for me was the one that I was looking forward to the last. And everybody's going to, oh, you're just a bunch of Apple fanboys. Well, nobody else is making anything cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the tablet in general. I mean, I say the iPad because they were first. You know, if it would have been Microsoft with their tablet, I would have been excited about that one.
Yeah. I saw the first Microsoft tablet and it was a garbage dumpster fire, but it did have ports.
They're really good now, though. Apparently, the Surfaces are supposed to be amazing.
I know. I was thinking about the Surface Pro. Yeah, the Surface Pro looked pretty good, but the price is pretty high. That new bobble thing that they've got. I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's a phone or a tablet. Was it the Duo with the two screens and the hinge and everything? Mm-hmm. I've heard nothing but good stuff about that too. That looks kind of cool, but you know, I'm dipping my toe in the Windows world. I'm not ready to dive in headlong yet, but working on
I tell you, this is my last Mac. I'm going back PC after this.
I've been enjoying working on my, because I've got that gaming PC, that Gamers Republic PC, which is basically an Asus. But I've got that set up as my multimedia machine now, and it's great. Yeah. It actually works and it's fast. I don't know. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, nowadays it's like all I hear about is like, okay, here comes the next phone. I don't care. Well, I really couldn't give a fuck about a phone.
This is the thing is, we've been discussing this for quite some time, and we discussed about how, you know, the days of the wild, wild webs when it was exciting, and now everything is so generic because it has to work for everyone, and it has to be this, and it has to be that. And, you know, the same thing has happened with the actual physical products, with hardware. You know, when we started up and when it was exciting, these were scrappy little companies. Apple is the largest company in the fucking world now.
I know. Who'd have thunk
it? So, you know, we're in big business here. Tech is big business. And you know, companies are getting kicked out of the fucking stock exchange and being replaced with technology companies. Blue chip, you know, companies are being kicked out and being replaced by technology companies. It's not surprising that we aren't excited about this stuff anymore because it's ubiquitous and nobody is taking chances. Everybody is just releasing shareholder value. Let's do what works. Let's bring out things. And there really just isn't anything terribly exciting anymore. Nothing
it's just
groundbreaking.
Commodity bullshit. Yeah. Commodity bullshit is what it is. And I have to say the one thing that I was wrong about so far was that damn Oculus. That's the
only
thing.
Yeah, you seem
thing.
To be loving it. So
it's cool,
but
man.
Think
it's
of, but
really
also
fun.
Think about that. It's these things aren't new either. We've been talking about them for
new.
4 or 5 years. It's just they're finally getting decent enough to be able to use.
Yeah. I mean, once this thing came out and it was standalone and you didn't have to like tether it, that was the thing that got me excited. And I put it on and I'm like, yeah, it's not like, you know, super duper high res. You can't run the greatest games on it like you could run on a PC, but it works. It's passable. You know, yep. It's passable entertainment. I mean, shit, man, we grew up on the goddamn Nintendo, you know, 8-bit. I grew up on 8-bit. I can, my brain can readjust and go back to lower res graphics. I don't need, you know, super duper 8K just to play a game, yep. Especially when all I'm doing is whacking, like, you know, notes with a sword. It's like, that's the fun part. It's like, it's kind of cool, but it's like, yeah, we shit on it for years and it's finally coming to fruition. The, you know, the thing that we wanted AR, I don't know where AR is. That's the one thing we really wanted. And that is just kind of left the building at this point.
Yeah. There's not really much going on with AR unless you want to like, check out paint colors in your room. That stuff is pretty cool. You know,
yeah,
you can get those apps that like where you take the pictures of your room and then you can do paint colors or move furniture around and stuff like that. But that's really the only we haven't seen too much in the terms of real world AR applications. You know, there's the star stuff because I've been using that with my son recently where you
also
point,
came out when the iPad came out.
Yeah,
you know,
all that stuff
new.
Has been around for a long time already. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is there anything new that's on the horizon that is really like got you jazzed up? And I can't think of a damn thing.
Nope, not one for me either, to be honest.
Right. So I guess we're just going to stay grumpy and say, fuck Uber. That's it. Talk about Uber every week on.
We can rebrand our podcast and then we'll get a whole bunch of new listeners because the only way to get people to see your show these days, if you've been running for a long time, is to basically pretend you have created a brand new show.
Trust me, man. I thought about it. I've been on the phone for the past 5 days trying to get advertisers, trying to do cross promotion deals. That's why I appreciate you putting all the notes in the show today because I have been on the like pounding the pavement trying to get us out there because like my work is dried up. I've got like no clients right now. Everybody's on hiatus and everybody's prepaid. So I'm going to be working my way out of debt for the next 3 months. So it's like we got to make this show work. And it's like it's all I've been doing. So I'm like, hey, man, maybe we just need to. You know, maybe we'll change the name to, you know, Reply BCC.
Speaking CC of all.
CC all. I did listen to an episode of that show, Reply All, and I don't know why people like that show. It is it's garbage.
Man, every
it.
Time you shit on this show, people shit on us. Because people do love that show.
You know what? Hey, if they're shitting on us, that at least means they're listening. So thank you, everybody who's still listening. Let's get to some news.
All right.
In the news.
From when I put this article in the news, it was TikTok will sue over the U.S. over the threatened ban, is now suing. So they have filed their suit and they are suing the Trump administration over the executive order banning transactions with parent company ByteDance. So it has been done. TikTok spokesperson said the company made a good faith effort to find a solution, but that the administration had instead ignored facts and tried to insert itself into discussions between private companies. It had no choice but to turn to the courts to challenge the order and guarantee that both the firm and users are treated fairly, according to the representative. Now, I am very curious about how a lawsuit against an executive order will pan out. Many people were wondering how legal the executive order was anyways. So this will be super interesting. The other big story that came out about this, which I didn't put in the show notes because, I mean, I don't know why, because I had put enough stuff in already and I was fucking tired, was that apparently this whole thing came out of Zuckerberg's mouth. He whispered into the administration's ear because he didn't like TikTok and the competition, and he sowed the seeds of discord that have now caused this whole situation.
See, I originally thought that it was because they fucked up Trump's rally down south, and
I think it started even before that. That just piled on. Yeah.
The thing about TikTok filing suit is it takes it out of the hands of the executive branch now.
In theory,
but it goes to the Department of Justice now, where there are actual procedures and rules that have to be followed. So it takes the asinine order out of the hands of the carrot and puts it into the Department of Justice, which is, you know,
where it should have been anyways.
But it's also run by William Burr, so what are you going to do there? So.
It's been politicized there, too.
But here's the deal. All they have to do is hang out for a few months, and hopefully we can get a sane resolution to all this. But
Or giant meteor.
Or a giant... It's 6 feet tall. Come on. It's like if somebody threw Penn Jillette at the Earth and said, here, have at it. You know, it doesn't really... It's the same size as Penn Jillette. That's the size of the meteor.
Old Penn or new Penn?
Old Penn. This is old Penn.
All right. Yeah. And more Facebook news. Facebook is reportedly wargaming for contingencies for Trump if he meddles with the election results. So Facebook employees are laying out contingency plans and walking through post-election scenarios that include attempts by Mr. Trump or his campaign to use the platform to delegitimize the results. I would like to point out to Facebook that he is already using Facebook to delegitimize future results. So
yeah,
how about
to
you start doing
there.
Something now?
Yeah, come
so,
on, guys.
So, yeah, they are actively speaking with election officials about the potential of misinformation around election results as an emerging threat. The Post does not mention the president specifically, but noted that a prolonged ballot process has the potential to be exploited in order to sow distrust in the election outcome, and they will be relying on voting information centers to share authoritative information about election results. So they are aware of the coming election apocalypse and are trying to figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, because we're not going to have a winner on election day. It's 3 weeks after election day is when somebody will probably be announced. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Now, this one I thought was kind of funny. Facebook they have to pay France $125 million in back taxes.
Coffee money.
Pocket change. It's not even coffee money. It's like, you know, it's nothing. And it dawned on me. I'm like, I tried my damnedest with all of the Google tools that I have at my disposal, even that cool new spreadsheet that we linked to a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I cannot find out how much Facebook currently pays the IRS in corporate taxes.
And yeah, that's curious. So I'm curious about that too.
Can't find it. If you can find it, let me know, because there's nothing. There was a lawsuit that was being filed where they were supposedly going to have to pay $4 billion in back taxes, and that was in February. And after that lawsuit started, there was not a peep in the news about it, period, anywhere. So I could not find the resolution of that case because, you know, $4 to $5 billion is, you know, a hell of a lot more than $125 million. But you know, since that probably coincided with the time where the Zuck was hanging out with the carrot, whispering about TikTok, and maybe he got a pass.
Maybe.
So
you don't show your
know.
Taxes, I won't show mine.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it's $125 million. It's like, okay, basically they just pulled out his wallet and it rolled off a few, francs. Yep. Here you go. Away, France. Fuck you.
So I saw on your social media a couple days back that you had posted something about you took your drone out and ended up in a complete no-fly zone, so that kind of sucked for you. Mm-hmm. So I saw this bit of news come across, and I thought this might be interesting to you as well. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, is going to be evaluating several drone detection systems for airports. It will be testing at least 10 technologies and systems developed to not just detect drones, but also to mitigate the potential safety risks they pose. This isn't the first time that they've done it. It's probably the second or third, but this one is pretty serious, and they're getting ready to, like, I guess, pick a system.
Well, that's good. That's good. And, you know, there's a toggle on my DJI that says, you know, announce your drone when it's flying, mm-hmm. which I obviously turn on, because where I'm at, like, I'm in a really strange place in the valley where I'm right next to this big hill, because I'm in Woodland Hills, right next to the hill. And so when I take my drone up, I took it up the other day to figure out where all the smoke was coming from to see if there was a local fire, but it just turned out to be all of Los Angeles was covered in smoke because of all the fires. And as I was bringing it down, because I can only take it up to 385 feet because I'm like 15 feet above sea level, blah, blah, blah. This is as high as it will go. And when it comes down fairly slowly, which mm-hmm. I thought that
smart
kind of sucks. I know. I want it to come down a lot faster. If I put it in sport mode, I flew that thing in sport mode. My friend Dana and I went out to the park a couple weeks ago, and I put it in sport mode where it goes up to 60 miles an hour. Holy shit, that's too much power for me. But if I had it in sport mode, it would come down a lot faster, like a brick. But as I'm bringing it down, three goddamn fire helicopters crest the hill at about 200 feet above my house. And I'm like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, you know? And it's like, there's no warning. There's no nothing, because you can't hear them when they're on the other side of the hill. And I'm like, oh, man, how do you handle that situation?
Well, so, the theory is that they'll build some sort of system, and then there will be a button on said helicopters that they can press that will make all the drones go down.
Well, or go higher.
Some
kind of avoidance system is all I care about. You know, because the last thing in the world I want to do is hit a helicopter. Because especially the helicopters around here, because we're in the flight path for all of the fire prevention stuff. And it's like, I do not want to mess with those guys. These guys are fucking heroes. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to interfere with them in any way, shape or form. So, you know, if there are drone detecting technologies that they're going to release in the airports, I'm hoping that, you know, as this thing gets more advanced, that there's going to be more features in these, you know, commercial drones that I have that will help, you know, mitigate that problem, you know, some kind of detection technology, because like I said, the last thing I ever want to do is interfere with an actual aircraft with my little fucking toy, you know? So it's an interesting problem.
Cool.
Interesting problem. Now this one I loved. Researchers have just set a new record for the fastest internet speed ever. Mm-hmm. 178 terabits per second. That's a lot.
Okay, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yep. You just put up something on Dropbox for me that was like 4.7 gigs, and I downloaded that in about a minute. That would have taken about a second.
No.
Not even
You could download the entire Netflix library in a second with the speed. That was like one of the headlines. It's just like, yeah, you can just download all of Netflix in under a second. I'm like, I'll take it.
So this is all like fiber optic based.
Yeah.
The entire infrastructure would have to be completely rewired.
No, it doesn't. Actually, well, here's the problem. The computers on the other end are not fast enough to handle that much data, period.
Right.
You know, you have to have all new switches and things like that. But they're using all of these different, basically they're sculpting the different wavelengths, how the way the light moves through the cables.
Right.
And they're actually getting close to reaching the theoretical limits of fiber optics, which is really cool. Now, if we could just get that to our house, that would be even better. But
yeah,
oh, data caps, data caps. Imagine.
Capped at 1.6 terahertz.
Okay. So 178 terabits per second for, even if you ran it for like a quarter or actually like, you know, let's go 2 milliseconds, you would probably break all of the bandwidth caps in all of Los Angeles, which I'm sure Spectrum would really love.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there. Let me tell you about Factor, the meal delivery service that's making eating better a total breeze. I've been eating their ready-to-eat meals, and let me just say, they've leveled up my lunch game like nobody's business. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like the artichoke and spinach chicken and spicy poblano beef bowl. Just to name a few, they are out of this world. Here's the best part. These meals are ready in just 2 minutes. Count them, two minutes. No prepping, no cooking, no mess. Just heat and eat whenever you're hungry. And with over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, you'll never get bored. They've even got add-ons like smoothies and pancakes to keep you fueled up all day long. And if your schedule changes, no worries. You can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options without any cooking required. Plus, it's actually less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Factor today and start eating better with zero effort. Trust me, your taste buds will thank you. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Media Candy.
So, Brian, we have a new series on HBO called Lovecraft Country, which I mentioned before. And you've seen the trailer. It looks good.
Yep, it does look good. And I love me some Lovecraft. So
I read the book a long time ago, and I cannot remember a damn thing about what was in that book. But I remember it was good. I did review it on the show. I was going to go back and try and find my review so I could cut it in here, but that would take effort.
Good and intensely racist.
What do you mean?
He was a very racist writer.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Lovecraft was. But it's all about race. Lovecraft
yes,
Country is definitely all about race. And I'm two episodes in because that's all that's out right now. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I am thoroughly fucking enjoying it.
Okay,
it's amazing. It's amazing. And it moves at a quick clip. That's why I'm watching this. I'm like, you know, I remember a lot more stuff before the stuff happened in the book. They're really cooking things along here. So, it's fantastic so far. So if you have a chance, if you have the means, I highly recommend that you acquire it.
I am looking forward to it. I really do want to watch it. So.
Yeah. No kids. Keep the kids away.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Definitely keep the kids away. And since I was out of Lovecraft country, my roommate and I decided we needed some feel-good stuff. So we went to back to the beginning, way back to the beginning, and started watching Entourage from episode one. Mm. We're about 3.5 seasons in. It is still one of the best shows ever made. It really is. It is just a feel-good show, and it is just fun.
It's not feel-good at all. It's horrific.
No, it's not. Did you watch the whole series?
I can't watch anything related to the entertainment industry with those kind of characters. I get PTSD.
See, I don't. And it was just, I mean, we're watching, it's fantastic. It's fun. There's nothing but fun in that show.
Okay.
But it is definitely dated. It is definitely dated. We have gotten to season 3 where they're finally using razors, you know, Motorola razor phones.
Yep.
So, and there are copious uses of the R word in there as well. So,
just
I mean,
dated.
I think the season we're on is 2007, maybe 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. It definitely has not aged well in some regards. That's for damn sure. But it's still fun. I really enjoy Entourage. I'm sorry I do.
Okay.
So we've finally gotten a peek into Apple's first bundle. We talked mm-hmm. about the bundles last week, how Apple might be coming out with these different bundles.
Yep.
And a hat tip to Eric Hundley for sending this one over. So here's the deal. So they're going to do a CBS All Access and Showtime bundle for $9.99 a month. But you have to be an Apple TV Plus subscriber to get it. Now,
well, okay, I'm getting Apple TV Plus for free for a year.
Right. So you can
currently paying for CBS. So it's the same cost. So I need to cancel my CBS All Access through CBS and now get it through Apple TV, right?
Right. And then you'll get Showtime. Right. See, I'm already paying for Showtime as well. I know this is it's just a fuster clock. So I am paying for CBS and I'm paying for Showtime. So it made sense to me to do this. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've only got one Apple TV. So this isn't going to work. Then last night, I'm dicking around on my Roku and there's an Apple TV app for the Roku. Mm-hmm. So I can literally get the Apple TV app, put it on my non-Apple device, and then use my non-Apple device to get to the other things that I want to pay for that I'm already paying for with just standalone apps. This is going to make my fucking head explode.
I know. It's insane. They're just making it as complicated as humanly possible. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. It yep. is ridiculous.
But, I mean, it ends up being worth it because look at it. I mean, basically, I will pay what I'm paying now and get Showtime for free.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to do it. That's the shitty part. That I have to do this because I'm going to save $11 yeah. a month on Showtime.
Yeah, and then now I have to also figure out what I've done with my Disney Plus account because I want my ESPN Plus, but somehow the subscription for Disney Plus that I have right now doesn't have the ESPN Plus, but the other subscription does. So I have to go back in and talk to customer service and figure out how to switch that over. It's such a fucking pain.
You know what we got to do, Brian? Yeah.
Pay for
buy
cable.
Buy a fucking book.
I know.
Just get a book.
I'm just going to read to hell with TV.
I know. It's just they're making it too. Look, we're technologically savvy.
Oh, my God. Like, can you imagine our parents trying to figure out all this stuff?
You know what my dad does? Watches basic cable. He doesn't give a shit. He's like, I'm like, did you watch this thing on this thing or on Netflix? He's like, I can't figure it out, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to watch the Cubs game.
Yeah, I mean, bought one of those. I bought one of those Logitech programmable remotes for my mom's house, so I could set it up for her, so that I signed her into my CBS All Access account because she's a huge Star Trek fan. So I basically set it up for. I call it the Star Trek button. I'm like, Mom, you press this one. It goes. Open up your TV. It'll turn everything on. It'll automatically open up the CBS app. You just have to find Star Trek from there using these arrows.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Star Trek, I got to say Lower Decks has kind of soured on me for that episode.
I still like
it. Was terrible.
I still like it. I think it's funny.
I thought episode 3 was just absolutely god-awful.
It wasn't the best one, but we'll see. I still think it's funny. I enjoy the lower level humor.
And the other thing is, on your recommendation, I started watching Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not wonderful. It's not Next Generation. It's not Deep Space Nine, but it's not bad. I rewatched it all.
It's kind of better than Voyager. So
I kind of agree with you, at least until Jerry Ryan showed up.
I did. Whatever. That doesn't even do it for me. It's just like Voyager was just not good. I mean, it just wasn't good. I mean,
I think I agree with you. I think I like Enterprise more than Voyager, especially I hated the way they ended Voyager.
I can't even remember. I mean, I was working on the lot when they were doing that. And I remember, like, you know, my girlfriend and I sitting at home watching the end of it because we watched the beginning together. Oh, here's the thing about Enterprise that is just a terrible shit show. Who hired Diane Warren to do the fucking theme song?
Yeah, the theme song is crap.
It is garbage. The theme song is garbage. I'm sorry, Diane, but you failed us on that one. But yeah, it's not bad. So, okay, yeah. Back to our regularly scheduled media candy. Sorry for the Star Trek speaking trip of to the things, Delta Quadrant.
Speaking of things that make me just want to read instead of watch things, the big news on the interwebs this week is we finally, thank God for all you superhero freaks, got a new superhero teaser trailer, The Batman, with Robert Pattinson.
I liked it.
Do we need another Batman reboot?
Do we? Here's the thing. What got me going on this, the reason I watched it, is because everybody was hashtagging it The Crow. And I'm like, oh, no. I thought that was dead in the water. Please, no, you're not allowed to remake The Crow, period. And I thought, I'm like, Robert Pattinson is The Crow? Oh, God. Well, Jason Momoa is going to be The Crow. Imagine how great that would have been. Jesus Christ.
No, thank you.
But anyway, I watched it. I kind of enjoyed it. And the thing about Batman, or The Batman, is he's not a superhero. You always have to remember that. Batman is just a dude with a lot of money. So he could be... This is like an alternate path universe for Jeff Bezos. This is Jeff Bezos. You saw him, like, you know, bulk up and get all buff and things. Jeff Bezos could be the Batman.
Great.
He will deliver your criminals in one day or less with free shipping.
But only if you pay to Batman Prime.
Batman Prime, that's right. But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
At the library.
As discussed, I've been having a hard time reading anything intense, and I like my shitter sci-fi, which is just a quick throwaway stuff. And I read A Pivot in Time, I can't remember what the first one was. It's a series called Alien Artifact.
It was a cube. It was about a cube.
Some sort of cube by Douglas E. Richards, who has basically made an entire career writing just these quick, wonderful throwaway sci-fi books that are kind of silly. So I rolled straight into the second one called A Pivot in Time. The first one had a... Nazis. The second one, a bit of time travel. Romans and Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, I was hoping he was going for Genghis Khan.
Maybe the third
one. Book three.
Maybe the third one. Same impression as I had with the first one. It was a fun read. It was quick, and it did the trick and made me not wish for a meteor to come. So,
okay.
Did good.
There you go. I read a very short story called A Change of Plans by Dennis E. Taylor.
The Bobaverse guy, right?
We're still waiting for the Bobaverse book. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to wait longer than me.
I know.
I pre-ordered my Audible version that comes out September 27th, I believe, and you have to wait till January for it.
Yep.
But it's, I think, 30 pages long. It's a very short story. It's like 99 cents if you buy it, but it came with my Kindle Unlimited. And great story. I was really bummed when it was over. It really kind of set the seeds for like a pretty cool little universe there. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, pick it up, man. I think you'll dig it. It's going to take you half an hour to read at the most. Well, with you, it's going to take you about 6 minutes.
Click, click. All right, it's in my Kindle.
There you go.
Just that easy.
So I actually picked up a new Kindle this week. One of the Kindle Whites, or the Paperwhite, Kindle Paperwhites. I got the shiny new waterproof edition. I don't know why, because it's the only one that they had. It was like the cheapest one, because my roommate absconded with my other one because she likes to read gangster books and shit like that, so I haven't been able to get it back, and I'm like, I want to start reading on my Kindle again. And I noticed, and I don't know, it's been this long since I've actually used my Kindle, they actually use the Open Dyslexic font now. You can pick that as a font.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I did some research, and apparently they put it on in 2018. It's been that long since I opened my Kindle.
Yeah, I guess I should clarify, since we are a tech podcast, I don't actually own a Kindle. I use the Kindle app on my iPad.
Right. I did. I used to, but then I got the, you know, the lunch tray sized iPad, the 12.27 800 inch one. That's like huge. And I've got a 9.7, which I resurrected the other day, which is kind of nice. It's much smaller, but I still like having a small Kindle to read in bed because I just like it doesn't hurt my eyes at night, right. And there's nothing to distract me. Like, you know, I'd be in between a chapter reading it on the Kindle app, and then I'd go play around in Clash of Clans, and then
you'd go to our Discord channel, and yeah,
then I'd go to the Discord channel and everything else. And I'm like, oh, I got 7 emails. Let's check those. Where was I? What were they talking about? Where are we in space?
Right.
So I like having, like, when I go to bed at night now, I take my CBD, I take my magnesium, and then I pull out my Kindle, and within 25 minutes, I am dead asleep. And when it falls on my chest, it doesn't knock me out like the giant fucking iPad would.
Yeah, I do miss using my iPad mini for that, for reading, because I gave that, I basically gave that up for my son, and I used the larger one. So the iPad mini was much better for reading, so maybe I need to invest in a real Kindle at some point.
Cheaper than an iPad mini, and they're really good on your eyes. These Paperwhite, get the Paperwhite with a leather case. It'll cost you about $220. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed this week. I saw that they still sell iPad minis.
I loved my iPad mini so much.
They're great, man. Yep. They're great. I didn't know they still had them, but they don't have any of the new features. You still have to use, they come with the button and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They haven't revved it in so long. So I'm like, I can't justify that.
Yeah.
I love that iPad. iPad mini is my favorite iPad besides the, I either want it really small or fucking massive.
Or massive, yeah. Come on, Apple. Let's get some new iPad minis out on the market.
Yeah. Give me an iPad mini pro. That's what I want.
Feedback loop.
We got some new subscribers over at Patreon. Kawinder, Bill Barrett, and Bill says, you guys should check out this video on happiness. The guy spent over a year researching over 20 books and other sources on happiness. It's really high production and might take off some edge of the grump. Well, why would we want to do that?
We wouldn't have a show.
It's from Will Schroeder and it's called What is Happiness?
All right. Cool. Check that out. And James wrote in, hello, Jason, Brian, and Dave. I'm currently getting my master's in cybersecurity thanks to y'all, but I don't feel like I'm learning a lot or it's even useful. The courses seem unstructured and the reading material is from 2010 to 2012. TLDR, what are things I can study alongside my courses so I can hopefully not get an entry-level job should I leave my current healthcare field? Thank you and love the show. My impression, James, is maybe cybersecurity isn't for you.
No, I don't think so at all. I think
it sounds like he may not be that interested in it.
Well, no, it just sounds like he's getting a master's in it, which seems to me that if they're teaching him stuff from 2010 to 2012, it's a bad course.
Yep. You know, find a different course then.
I wouldn't even say find a different course. Just, you know, find good forums to hang out in, you know, get your Kali Linux going, you know, learn Metasploit backwards and forwards. And there's so many resources out there to
learn
cybersecurity.
Might need the degree to get the job though, Jason.
You don't need a degree. You need the certs and you need experience. So go back and go to, the security one that we had the other day. Krebs on Security has a good list of resources on how to learn to get into cybersecurity. And you know, take that list, apply it to this. You can still get your master's degree, which is great, but also look at what he's offering in that list. And, you know, in the evenings or whatever, take those courses as well to beef it up. So you have your degree. Good. That's a great piece of paper to have to wave around to get a job. But also look at the courses that he recommends and all the people in the comments as mm-hmm. well recommend. And that's going to give you a leg up with more modern cybersecurity techniques.
That'll be as current can be.
Exactly. So, you know, there are ways to get around the fact that, you know, the course that you're taking, unfortunately, isn't up to speed. So, you gotta be proactive with that and get out there and find it.
There you go.
And over at PayPal, we've got Tom, Ryan, John, Andrew, Jeffrey, Mark, Adam, Martin, Florian, John, Stavros, Jonah, Martin, and Don. And Don says, been a listener for almost 5 years, a former Patreon supporter from 2016 to 2020, and switched to semi-annual PayPal early in 2020. Here's to a better second half of 2020. The bar is set pretty low. Amen, brother.
Amen. And over on Twitter, Rocky Restivo sent us a link. He says, best title for a blockchain article. And this is Blockchain, the amazing solution for almost nothing.
And amen to that, too.
Yes, kind of very similar to what we've been saying. Blockchain technology is going to change everything. The shipping industry, the financial system, government. In fact, what won't it change? But enthusiasm for it mainly stems from a lack of knowledge and understanding. The blockchain is a solution in search of a problem. We've discussed this a lot. I've kind of noticed that blockchain is no longer quite the buzzword to get financing that it once used to be, which is good. There are uses for blockchain, you know, logic and distribution systems, finances, things of that nature. But God, we went through a period of about 4 years where everybody was throwing it onto everything, weren't they? It was like, you want fries with that? We got blockchain.
Exactly. And here's the funny thing, you know, audit trails on all that stuff already exist.
Yeah, it's That's just a different way of doing it, right?
Yeah, and it worked before blockchain came around. This was just another way to say, you know, let me slap some AI on that. You know, it's like whatever the buzzword is that everybody wants to put shit on.
Yep.
So Moss6502 writes in, and he says, I thought WordPress was free. Now, he sent us a link to The Verge where I'm going to summarize this story real quick because the whole thing has played out at this point.
Right.
Matt Mullenweg, friend of mine, good guy, came out and said, the reason that there are no WordPress updates on iOS is because Apple said that we have to put in-app purchases for our free product because over here we sell a commercial product and they want us to put in a paid version to so they can get their cut. Mm-hmm. Matt's a great guy and said he acquiesced to their request, which I thought was silly, but he wants his people to have their app, right? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that was a stand-up thing to do because he cares more about his users than he cares about the 30%. He's richer than Croesus. It doesn't matter. Now, once he tweeted that, then a shitstorm came down on Apple because the only reason that the app was getting rejected was because of a little bit of verbiage that said, you know, okay, you can go to the website and upgrade your plan.
Which looks like a workaround from Apple's system.
But
Apple.
They had taken that out months ago.
Right.
And Apple was still saying, you need to put in our 30% guarantee here. But they're like, it's like, you know, it was one of these things where it's like, hey, well, you said it once, so we're going to hold you to it, even though they took out all of the verbiage that said anything about upgrading, nothing about it in the app. And all they wanted to do was get their app out there so people could update their websites from the app. And, you know, Matt's just like, he didn't want to go up against Apple and fight the good fight because he's just like, I want my people to be able to update their app. So good on him for doing that. That was a stand-up thing to do. Well, then Apple came back and rolled it back real fast because they are in the middle of a shitstorm right now with all the Fortnite stuff and the Epic stuff and said, we believe the issue with the WordPress app has been resolved. Since the developer removed the display of their service payment options from the app, it is now a free and standalone app and does not have to offer in-app purchases. We have informed the developer and apologize for any confusion that we have caused. Well, you caused all the fucking confusion because you strong-armed him into actually putting in a payment option for a service that he wasn't even offering at the time when you were actually making him do it. So fuck you, Apple, on that one. And good on you, Matt. Good on you.
There you go. Jeff sends us a link. Fitbit posts early findings show its trackers can identify cases of COVID-19 before symptoms take hold. And this is over on fiercebiotech.com. I don't want to discuss this too much because A, there's a 30% rate of false positives, and B, this hasn't been peer-reviewed. It's only Fitbit's people saying this has happened.
Of course it is. So. Yeah, I'm sorry. My Fitbit can barely tell me when it's time to wake up, so that's all right.
Yep. And we had about 6 or 7 people that tweeted us to let us know that they always make it to the end of the show. So we have our Baker's Dozen of Spotify listeners and our Baker's Dozen of people that listen to the very end of the show.
Perfect. Well, we'll try and put in something fun then, I guess. So I'll create more work. And over at GOG.show, Christian writes in, hello, guys. I usually find your media tastes coincide with mine, but I have to say that in my opinion, Star Trek Lower Decks is terrible. I've watched the first 3 episodes, and I really don't know if I'll make it through the next 7. I guess I was hoping for something a little less juvenile, more in line with TNG's 7th season episode, also called Lower Decks, but more fun. Stay grumpy. I think the whole point of Lower Decks is that it is juvenile.
Yeah, it was supposed to be The Simpsons in space. That was the point.
I was thinking more Beavis and Butthead.
or that, yeah. All right, well, we'll see. I'm still enjoying it so far. We'll see how long that lasts. Mark Andre writes in, hello again. More development on the topic. Apple opposes Epic's restraining order, says dispute is completely unavoidable. So Apple is calling on courts to deny Epic Games the restraining order, claiming any harm to the Fortnite company is completely avoidable here and now. They just have to do what Apple asks. So, And Microsoft has come out in support of this. So there you go. They are supporting Epic against Apple. So we'll see what happens. But
this all comes down to the Unreal Engine, because the Unreal Engine is powered, you know, it powers damn near everything nowadays. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has, you know, an unlimited license to Unreal. So they want to make sure that that development is kept on track. Yep. And also, they just like to turn the screws on Apple, I'm sure, whenever they get a chance. Whenever they can.
Look, I'm behind Apple on this in terms of the Fortnite game itself. I don't think that the whole company with the Unreal Engine, all that should be rolled into it. But that's the politics of the situation.
Apparently, there were some emails back and forth between the guy from Epic and Tim Cook like a long time ago. Not a long time, like a year or so ago, where the guy from Epic was just like, hey, man, you gotta stop this stuff. Give us a sweetheart deal. And Tim's like, no. there's a lot more that was going on behind the scenes. And this is just like it coming to a head.
Yeah.
And Epic needs to suck it up, honestly.
Yeah, I think so with the Fortnite thing. I agree.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a knockdown drag out, because everybody's piling on Apple at this point, saying that, you know, the 30% is usury and they just won't take it anymore. So what are you going to do? And Ralph writes in, hi, Grumps. Yes, Big Sister is listening. Police increasingly turn to smart speakers, watches, and other smart devices to turn state's evidence or star witness. Stay healthy, stay grumpy. And this is a link over at Wired. Meet the star witness, your smart speaker.
Yeah, and the really interesting thing, I don't want to get too into the details. I put a lot in the show notes, and it's kind of boring me even as I look at it right now.
It's pretty boring. I read the article, and I'm still bored.
The interesting thing about it is the fact that people are actually using it to confirm alibis. So it's not so much that they're using these things to kind of get at you and prove that you did something, although there was a really interesting case that they talked about in there where they were able to use the voice recognition to figure out which of the roommates had the illegal drugs, because he kept asking his lady in the tube about the illegal drug, and they were able to pin it to the one guy's voice, so the other roommates cleared. Idiot. The interesting thing is like, oh, well, were you home at this time? I see you ordered a pizza from your lady in the tube then, so yeah, you were home.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly, I like the exoneration in a tube, but, mm-hmm. Criminals are going to be criminals, and we all
criminal
agree
they're
not
criminal.
That bright. Yeah.
And Runcat wrote us, saw this comment on YouTube, thought it was appropriate. A globe who can talk to you, artificially intelligent robots, a picture phone, a magic screen, a non-gasoline personalized motorized scooter, and on-demand live music performances. Say one right or wrong word and the entire world screams at you. Are you sure we aren't living in Pee-wee's Playhouse today?
Yeah, pretty much it. Welcome to cancel culture, my friend. Yeah. Welcome to cancel culture. And Jonathan writes in, hey guys, the iPod thing. Why couldn't it just have an inbuilt radio for agents to covertly be in radio contact while appearing to be listening to an iPod? Seems like the simplest answer to me. Stay frumpy. Android autocorrect. I'm leaving it there for the humor. Well, here's the thing. A radio would be an easy one to do, but they wanted to write to a secret partition on the disk, which means they were putting something in there to collect data. It could have been a bug. It could have just been a bug to listen to whoever's in the room. That's fine. But an inbuilt radio doesn't make any sense.
Yep. But I do appreciate the one conspiracy theory. I thought we'd get a lot more.
I thought we were going to get a lot more, too.
Yeah. Oh, well. So,
slackers.
Mark writes us, thought this podcast might be right up your alley. It's called, it's by the Gang of Three, and it's called Known Pleasures. It seems to focus on from like 1978 to 84, post-punk, new wave, etc. Basically right up my alley. I look through the list of albums that they covered and bands that they covered. All of this stuff is some of my favorite stuff. I have not listened to it yet, so I cannot vouch for any of it, but it is on my list of things to listen to.
Excellent. And Tim IT writes in, I'm a relatively new listener to your podcast, and I enjoy the show. Please keep up the good work and stay safe. My wife and I are living in Melbourne, Australia, under a second lockdown. It's hard, but being able to listen to your show brings a little joy to our lives. Well, stay safe down there in Straya, please. Please.
And Florian writes in, hi, Grumps. So usually I'm the one sending around imjtifa links to people, but I can't for the life of me figure out how to automatically sync my Audible listens to Goodreads. I only found some Goodreads knowledge base articles stating that it isn't possible. Jason, teach me your magic. Thanks for grumping on and keeping people sane-ish during this pandemic. Greetings from Germany. P.S. As one of those overly optimistic software engineers who works in AI, And then in parentheses, well, machine learning, actually. I quite regularly disagree with you on those topics, and I love it. You're helping keep people like me grounded and maybe look at stuff from a different perspective than I would do in my bubble.
All right. Well, Florian, I did write you an email, and I apologized. I was completely wrong. Audible does not sync to Goodreads. It is my Kindle that syncs to Goodreads. So all apologies for that. It still doesn't work. I still think they need to like burn Goodreads to the ground and build it back up because it is just a dumpster fire.
Yep.
So Armchair Rambo writes in, hey guys, here's one listener who finally ditched Spotify for Overcast. All those listening on Spotify need to try Overcast. Great interface and smart playback. You won't go back to Apple or Spotify once you try it. All on your recommendation. Love it. Thanks. Well, Marco, you hear that? Oh, wait, Marco doesn't listen to this show. Never mind. He already booted us out of the top list, you fucker.
Yep. And Vincent writes in, hey, Brian, is it common for music labels to go public? And sent a link from CNN here. Big Hit Entertainment, the talent agency behind the hugely popular Korean pop boy band, received preliminary approval this month to list on the country's stock market. It's a longtime music producer who runs it, who is credited with creating BTS and setting it on the road to stardom in 2013. So this is like some K-pop stuff. I mean, think New Kids on the Block, except 300 times more massive.
Their fan base is bigger than our entire country's population. So
yeah. So one thing to keep in mind here, not a record label, talent agency. Big Hit Entertainment is a talent agency because it works a little bit different over there. Think William Morris and a record label combined. These guys basically own these people's lives, the boy band's lives. It's not just they're releasing the music and making the money off that. They do everything. So acting, whatever. It's a talent agency, so they make money on everything these guys do. And as long as they keep people, we have to keep in mind boy bands have shelf lives. So as long as they keep a stock coming in, they're going to continue to make a lot of money. But as far as record labels go, again, Big Hit Entertainment is not a record label. It's a different beast with a lot more streams of income coming in. It's more common for music labels to get picked up by larger public entities than to go public themselves. Think Sony and BMG and Universal and Vivendi. Warner Music Group was the last world's publicly traded major music company before being bought and privatized by Access Industries back in 2011. But it's not unheard of, particularly overseas and in smaller markets where indie labels can get a large portion of a country's audience. Here in the States, indie labels still kind of run generally on screw the man, don't sell out principles, so they couldn't go public without getting a ton of shit, and they can't get enough market share to make it worthwhile anyways, so they're more likely to do distribution deals with majors or get bought out by them.
Are you saying Sub Pop's not on the NASDAQ?
I would invest, but no, I would invest.
No. And over at iTunes, we got a 5-star from Addict5GV8. Hello, Jason and Brian. I've been listening to your podcast since 2017. Really love your rants and raves, not just about tech, but about politics as well. Keep on grumping. Gerald V from Texas. All right. Got a Texan who likes our political rants.
That's amazing.
Suck it. Hi, everybody.
Well, wonders never cease. And we got a 5-star rating from Taken Too Long from Sweden. Grumble, grumble. Great tech/multimedia. Bet you haven't seen that in a while. Podcast. There are many things I disagree with them on. Privacy, anonymity, best sci-fi, which is clearly Babylon 5, even aged pretty well. But I do enjoy every show and cause people to look at me funny in public, grinning ear to ear, most likely the cause. Oh, by the way, I would like you to return some of the files I've lent you over the years. No rush, though.
No, I'm keeping them. I'm keeping them.
You can have back my copy of Farscape.
Fuck you. And we got a 5-star from Co Teddy Bear here in the U.S. Great grumpiness. Love these guys. Love the banter between them. I always put them at the top of the list when the show arrives. Security, is one of my faves, as is in the library. At the library, I should say. I fucking came up with the title. I should be able to say it. Fuck. I've gotten some great suggestions, and I've even tried some they stated weren't good. And they were right. Dave Bittner is a great addition to security. Just got back from vacation and had 5 episodes to listen to. Score! Keep on grumping. Well, thank you very much, Co Teddy Bear.
In the United States and just came back from vacation.
Sturgis, maybe? Vroom, vroom, baby.
Vroom, vroom. Everybody's
infected.
Hope
you didn't get a tattoo.
Hey, man, you're a rock star. Anyways, if you want your question or comment read on the show, head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions that we can read on the air. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a 5-star and snarky review.
Closing shout out.
A big, giant happy birthday to Windows 95. We're recording this on Friday, August 20th. I don't even know what fucking day it is. It's Tuesday, August 25th. And yesterday, August 24th in 1995, Windows 95 launched. God, that's been a long time. And
It doesn't seem that long ago to me sometimes. It's very strange. I remember getting my shiny brand new copy. Windows 95 and installing it. Good times.
Yeah. Yeah. 25 years. 25 years.
Crazy. Crazy.
Wow.
And I want to give a shout out to everybody that showed up on our Discord channel. We have like almost over 200 people now at this point, which is great. Very, very cool. It's awesome seeing you guys all talk amongst yourselves. It's a good time.
Yep.
We pop in every now and then, but mostly you guys are running the show. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Enjoy. Yes, I pop in whenever I get a chance, which has, like I said, I've been on the phone and beating the pavement. And what are we going to do? Until next time, I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. This show is a labor of love, but your support keeps the show going. If you like the show, please visit gog.show/donate to help us out. We'll love you forever. Or visit gog.shop and pick up some good old-fashioned GOG swag. And if you can't do that, please pass the show along to a friend. Word of mouth is the only way the show grows, so spread the grump far and wide. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/466. From there, you can find links to old episodes, leave feedback, ask questions, donate to the show, buy our swag, and get links to stuff we like. Stay grumpy.
What are you waiting for?
Tommy. This is not natural, man.
It's a great outdoors. It's fresh air.
Look, Tommy, we know you're getting a hard time off Lizzie, but there's really no need to take it out on us.
Doesn't it make you proud to be Scottish?
It's shite being Scottish! We're the lowest of the low! The scum of the fucking earth! The most wretched, miserable, servile, pathetic trash that was ever shot into civilization! Some people hate the English, I don't! They're just wankers! We, on the other hand, are colonised by wankers! Can't even find a decent culture to be colonised by! We're ruled by effete assholes! It's a shite state of affairs to be in, Tommy, and all the fresh air in the world won't make any fucking difference!